So go with me into Hebrews 3 first, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, as the Holy Spirit says, so this is not David speaking, this is not other people speaking, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. You think he's worth listening to?
Amen.
Amen. I think maybe he's got something to say to us, because the Holy Spirit never went around just gabbing. His mouth just didn't run to just speak things. When he spoke purpose. And in that purpose, there's life. He's talking about life now. Not just, okay. No. He wants to take you out of some place you're at and bring you into a place you're not at.
Amen.
That's why he spoke these things to us. He saw that in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. In this world, your flesh is going to try to control your life. And flesh leads to destruction every single time. You live by the flesh, you will die by the flesh. You live by the Spirit, you'll live by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And that's our choice to make. And he was trying to tell us here, he said, listen, Holy Spirit speaking to you today. So I think I'd listen.
Yes, amen.
And that means you got to focus. That means you got to get your mind on the things above and not the things below. You got to let go of all that stuff you're thinking about when I get out of here, how quick, if he'd hurry up, I could get to lunch before everybody else. You got to get past that. And say, Lord, I'm here this morning to hear from the Holy Spirit. I need to hear what he's got to say. If you don't need to hear what he's got to say, then close your eyes and go to sleep. I'm serious. You might as well sleep. But if you're really in a place where you need to hear the word of God, now is the time to open up and listen. It's only Pastor Dave. Yeah, it's only Pastor Dave. Well, this was they assumed it was only Paul. You didn't even know him. At least you know me. You never talked to him. You never sat with him. You never prayed with him. You never did any of that. But you have with me. That was just a man talking when he wrote these things out. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Tell you this morning, I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you receive it from Paul or receive it from me, either way, receive it. And if you don't agree with it, go to God about it. Amen? Well, I wish you were somebody that was a little bit nicer, a little bit prettier, a little bit younger, a little bit this, or a little bit that. Well, so do I wish that about you. Amen? Amen. Just because we got both wishes doesn't mean they're going to come to pass. God doesn't answer wishes. We said it this morning. He'll meet your need, not your wants, not your wishes. Just because you want something doesn't mean you're going to get it from God. That's what I said before. I believe by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, step up into the realm of the kingdom of God, into the spiritual realm where all those needs will be met. What is your need this morning? Is it physical healing? Is it financial health? Is it just peace in your mind? Is it a joy in your heart? What is it? God has made provision for you, my friend. And if you're not there, it's time to step into it. God is not going to pick you up and carry you into it. He's not going to drop from heaven like some mystic rain. It doesn't work that way. He said, when you search with me from all your heart, you're going to find me. Hallelujah. We having fun yet? All right, let's go on. So the Holy Spirit's speaking to us today. He's speaking to us when? Today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Today. Every day there's a fresh word from him if you will seek it out.
Yes. Amen.
Every day. God doesn't want you to live on past manna. Manna meaning the word of God. Not just because you got saved is it enough to get you through today. You understand? You got to have a fresh word from God for today, because today there's enough trouble today I'm going through. Yesterday, trouble's already passed. I got a fresh one for today. And if I can trust God every day to give me a fresh word to get me through that day, I have gained great victory. Because the devil no longer has power over me. The flesh no longer has power over me. I got a fresh word from God today. And that is my weapon, the two-edged sword. And I'm ready to attack. Oh, man. Victory comes. More than a conqueror comes when you take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and attack the enemy with it. In other words, he says, oh, you're sick. Yeah, but God says, I'm healed in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I was made whole and sound. God says, you know, the devil comes along and says, oh, you're not going to have any money to pay that bill. But God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Every time you attack with that word, that devil backs up.
Amen.
When you accept his lies, he keeps pressing in. And how do you know? Because once you start attacking him with the word of God, he starts backing up. Pretty soon, the distance becomes wider and wider and wider. Pretty soon, the sound of his voice becomes a little bit quieter. I can't hear. Now I got to strain to hear what the devil's got this. I got to strain. I got to try to hear what he's saying. Because the voice of God is so great that the voice of the devil no longer has power. When Elijah stood up on the mountain and he said the storm came and the lightning struck and the wind blew and all that stuff went on. That was the devil and all his big noise. But then there was this still small voice. But the still small voice was greater than all the rest of the noise that was coming at him. That's amazing. Why? Because he stepped into what God had for him. When you do that, glory to God. Amen. Listen to this. Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Back up. Today, if, isn't that word in there? If you will hear his voice. In other words, God's not going to force you to listen. Amen? If, do you have the ability to hear? Of course, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, knows my voice, and a stranger they're not going to follow. So if you are a born again, spirit-filled child of God, you know his voice. Not that you can know it. You hear what he said? He didn't just say you have the ability. He said you will. Amen? You will. When he speaks, you will know his voice. Amen? Glory to God. That's great. But he also said it this way. If you will. Like this morning. You can say, oh, that's just Pastor Dave. I'm reading right from his word. If you think that's me, then you haven't got ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Right? If I made it up, I'm going to give you my thoughts here in a minute. You got a right to throw them out. But I believe they're from God, but you can throw them out. You start throwing this stuff out, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, if you don't start taking it in more, you're in trouble.
Yes, yes.
Amen? We can't just well, yeah, I know what he says, but you don't know what he says. You got a few facts. You have no knowledge. Because if you had knowledge, you know that what he said comes to pass. And you'll never again doubt him. Never again doubt him. You'll never again doubt him. We having fun yet?
Yes,
glory to God. Go with me to Joshua 1:8. So I was dealing with this, and listen, I got on my computer, I got all these notes, all this stuff going out. And this is the way God works with me. God is so good to me. He deals with me. Just 5 minutes before I left the house, he gave me the message. And I've been working on this stuff, you know, I don't know how long, last night, all over, yesterday. And I really meditate on this during the week. And I'm going, oh, and I believe God showed me something. And when I woke up in the morning, he showed me something real quick. And he started talking to me about this and that. And I said, wow, okay, great. I started I got pages and reams of notes. And I don't just look at I look at other people, what they said about things. And I want to pray. Finally, as I was preparing this morning, I was almost done. And the Lord says, when are you going to ask me? Amen? You got all these great plans.
Yes, come on.
You try all this stuff, getting it all ready. Oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get this all together. So when are you going to ask me? He said. I said, you're right, Lord. I'm serious. I said, you're right. Lord, what do they need? Not what I want to give you. Not what I think will sound good and make you get it, you know. I don't want to get you all excited and go, oh boy, it's great, and then go out there and be a mess. What do they need? Because God knows your need.
Yes,
and
on.
He's here to meet your need.
Amen.
And so if I can't bring you what I believe God shows me what you need, then I'm up here to entertain you. And I'm not here for that. Amen. I'm not here for that.
Amen.
I'm here because I look at my brothers and sisters who are going through battles in their life, suffering tremendously in different areas of their lives, and not getting the victory, not overcoming, not being more than conquerors. And I'm not saying that it's you guys and your fault or my fault, or it's just the truth. But I also believe God's got an answer for each one of us. And there is a general direction that we need to go. Moses said something. This stuck with me so much when we were doing those messages on Moses up on the mountain. And this stuck with me so much. And I believe truly it's reason that God keeps pounding me with it is, he said, Lord, unless we know your ways, we're not moving from here. Unless you get to a place where you understand the ways of God, you'll be stuck. Matter of fact, not only will you be stuck where you're at, even if you move forward, you will eventually come right back to the same place. Ready for it? He just showed me this. He said, listen, you get out of debt, right? And you don't continue to follow God's ways, you'll end up in debt. God's whole purpose in sending his son to the cross is to set you free from all debt. Spiritual, physical, mental, every debt, and financial. God does not like you to be in debt in any form or fashion, because the Bible says those who you're in debt to, you become slave to. So what God is trying to do is get you free from debt. Amen? And he said, the natural inclination for the human person is to go right back into the same boat they came out of. They'll do it every time. Unless you start walking in the Spirit and walking with God. Because if they be led by the Spirit, they'll never go back into debt again in any area of their life. I'm telling you, God will never take you back there. If you're walking by the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you will never go back to the old ways. You'll continually press onward and forward to great victories. Victory on top of 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 victory until you got to the high. That's God's ways. Read it in the Scriptures. Read it in the Scriptures. So God brought me back to Joshua, and he said, go there, I'm going to show you a few things. This one first part, I said, I never even saw it. So many times I've read this, I've used it, and I never saw this. Hallelujah. So I printed it all out, so I'm going to use my notes that I put down too, and hopefully whatever the Spirit of God shares with us. We're going to start in verse 1, okay? Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, all right, I want to back up a little bit in that scripture. The first thing that happened, must understand, at the time when God was speaking, he was speaking to Moses. Right? One man. He was speaking to Moses. He said, I speak to him face to face. He's my friend. I call him friend. He spoke to Moses. You do understand he speaks to all of us now. He doesn't just speak to me. He speaks to all of us. The key is if you will hear what he's saying. But I want you to see the first key you got to learn about. He went on. He says, he talked to Moses. Now Moses was dead, and he started talking to Joshua. Listen to this. In order for you to hear the voice of God, you're going to have to let the old man die. Moses was the old man. He had to die. He was 120 years old. He had to die before Joshua could start hearing. Your old man, your old wants, your old desires, your old will, your old plans. I've got my whole life planned out ahead of me. I got my whole week planned out ahead of me. I got my whole summer. I got my whole day. I got the next 24 hours. I got the next minute planned out. Got to get rid of it. You want to hear the voice of God? First thing, you got to let it die. The problem is, what we do is we keep trying to save what we want and let die what we don't want.
Yes, come on.
I want to get rid of what I don't like. That's fine. But the things I like, I want to keep. Whoa. And I'm going to tell you what. Your need and or your want, your desire of the things of the old man will be louder than the voice of God in you and will cause you every time to miss what God had planned for you. How's that one?
Wow.
I saw that this morning just as I was all done. He said, go back there and look at that. I said, ooh, you mean I got to die some more? I told you this a long time ago. God spoke to me. He said, look, David, if you want to help others live, you got to die. And don't you know, I've been kicking and screaming ever since. I'm not saying, boy, this is great, man. Look at me. You can follow me because I follow Christ. There's times I follow Christ fully, and there's times when me gets in the way and his voice is diminished by my own desires and wants of the old nature. Swallow that one first before we go on. Amen? Because I don't know anybody, and don't take this wrong, guys, I love you, including myself, that have done that. We started back there. How are we going to overcome? He said, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death. So what he is saying, how are we going to overcome? You can't love that life you used to have. And the things in your life right now that did not come out of the spirit realm, you need to get rid of. Now, hear me what I'm saying to you. The things that God gives you is different than the things that you went over after. Do not equate getting something. Look, by the grace of God, by his mercy, thank you, Jesus, Diane's got a car that's running good. I got a car. My car is a 06, I think it is. I don't know how many thousand miles on it. My fear is I drive around, the speedometer doesn't work all the time. Going through Nassau, I'm praying, Lord, don't let me go over 35. Don't let me go over 30. I'm serious. After a while, then it starts working. It goes back and forth. So Diane are talking, and she said, maybe it's time to get a car before you know, da 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 da. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, I'm on the lawnmower. This is last year. Should we get a car? I want to know. I hate debt. I don't mind driving an old car. I hate debt. I don't want to owe no man anything except to love them. That's God's word. And so we haven't had debt for a car in years, praise God. And I said, Lord, what do we do? He said, wait. Told Diane, God said, wait, we can't buy a car. We're still waiting. Well, does God care if you have a new car? No, God doesn't care if you have a new car. What he doesn't want is you have to work your whole life to pay for it. That in the end, because you've had it for, 6 years, you had to pay on it. And at the end of 6 years, you got 200,000 miles on it, and it's not worth anything. What'd you get out of it? See, that's, and look, I'm not picking up. Please, don't take it wrong. You've got to praise God. You've got a new car. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What I'm trying to help is to get you into a place where you can rest in Christ. that you lay your head on the bed at night not worrying about whether you're going to have money to pay your electric bill tomorrow or your car payment or this or that. Because once you get into that, no longer can you walk with the Lord because you're too busy trying to get through this life. God doesn't want that for you. Will God give you a car? Yes, I believe he would. He said he meets all your needs, but will he give them the one I want? I'm not going to answer that. Ask God. Do you go with him? I believe you go with him specifically. This is what I desire, Father. I thank you for it. You know my need is to have a vehicle. I thank you, Lord. And you provide all my needs according to your riches and glory. It's not because I just feel like having a sports car. I like MGs. There was a day when I got into an MG very easily. Today, a little grease and a shoehorn would get me into it, but I still love... I love MGs. I used to have MGBs. I had a bunch of them. I had three or four of them anyways. Not all at once, but I had them over a period of time. And so it wasn't too long ago, I saw a nice blue MG. It had just been restored. The thing was immaculate, perfect. And the guy says, yeah, I'm selling it. Woo-hoo! About $8,000. Nice car. Convertible, obviously. You would have seen me pulling up here. I used to race. I had a love affair. I could be considered adultery if I got one. My wife and I would be... Anyways. And so I could get it because I got enough good credit. I could go to the bank, get $8,000 for a car, easy. I mean, that's nothing. And I said, no, it's not a need. It's a want from the old time that I used to live. I used to enjoy it in the flesh. I loved it, but I'm not going to go get it just because I want it. It was a toy. It was something I wanted because it satisfied my flesh. And yet, I can take that MG and I can ride that thing every nice day. Get in there, top down, fly around. I'd be all over every place with it. I don't know what would happen around here or the gathering place or any place else. It wouldn't bother me. Because that old nature is very wanting. Always trying to get more and more and more of what it desired. It remembered the old days. We used to have a fun time doing that. Yes, we did. And if God gave me one, praise God, I hope that it wouldn't become something as an idol as it was at one time in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. So, first of all, before you're going to hear the voice of God, that old man's going to have to be put to rest. God, and here's what I wrote down. God first spoke to Moses, now to Joshua. But if you are a true child of God, he's speaking to you. He instructs all his children, and when you desire to hear his voice, you will. It'll become much easier to follow his path instead of your own. Don't be like those who rejected his ways so that they could follow their own, because you see how badly it ended for them. I wrote down this. God will take care of you, provide for you, just because he loves you. Remember what he said in the scriptures. He said he lets it rain on the just and the unjust. So if you plant a garden, God isn't going to just let it rain on top of your garden and the heathen next door's garden isn't wet. He's going to let it wet on both. So we got to understand that. We got to look at those things. There's certain things in this world that God has provided you for. But he provides it for everybody. Amen? So it's not just that. It's more than that for the child of God. Let me write what I wrote. Love you, but for the chosen ones of God, the children of God, they have the opportunity to experience the true blessings of our Heavenly Father. The blessings of God are those things God has told you are yours. Compare the two groups of people. The first group were given the same opportunity as the second. We're talking about going the nation of Israel going into the promised land. You remember the first group went in. He said, I've given you wells you did not dig. I've given you homes you did not build. I've given you, you know, orchards that you did not plant with great fruit. He said, I've given all this to you. And they said, no, we don't want it. So they wandered around. For 40 years they wandered. You know how many Christians are still wandering in the desert right now? Still wandering out there, flitting around, trying to figure out how to get to the place where God wants them to get. He said, until that old man dies. Remember what he said. Anybody that was 20 and younger was going to enter into the promised land. Anybody 20 and over was going to die in the desert. Stop thinking about the physical age. He's talking about the spiritual now. There's a lot of Christians who've been around for years still wandering in the desert because they refuse to let the old man die. And God is trying to get them to step up into the promised land. And they're still walking around. They hear. They saw. When they were out in the desert, all those who rejected, he provided for them. He fed them. Their clothes never wore out. The enemy couldn't kill them. They still never saw the best of what God had for them. Getting quiet in here. Hallelujah. One group possessed the blessings and the other wandered for 40 years in the desert. Question. We need to ask ourselves, are we going to possess or regret our time left to us here? Will we continue to live in lack, fear, and failure? Or are we going to live a life of success and prosperity? At this point, God did not tell them what to do. He only wanted them to believe that what he said would happen and that they would trust and believe him. He didn't say how it was coming to pass. He didn't tell you, okay, this is what you got to do. This is what's going to happen. No. He said, I told you that you were healed. You trust me? I told you I'd provide for you. Do you trust me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise or step up and go over this Jordan. That was what was stopping them from entering into. There's obstacles out there in the worldly system that stop us from entering into. It wasn't just in their heart. There were things in the world that were trying to keep them out. Listen to this. You're going to have to do as God tells you, even if you don't have all the details yet. You and all this people to the, he said, okay, then he goes on to say, you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that you, the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. You understand what he's saying here? He said, I already gave it to you. You're not going to have to work for this. Isn't that what God is trying to get us into, a rest? We don't have to work for the blessings of God. You don't have to work for them. They just come in. We're at rest. The storms are going all around us, but we're sleeping in the back of the boat with Jesus. We're at rest. That was he saying to them. He said, look, I've given this to you. I've already given. All the needs that you ever will have in life have already been given to you. They were purchased at the cross at Calvary. And they were revealed at the resurrection of Christ out of the grave. Whew. If you had left them in the grave, I would agree with you that they're not yours. But once he came out of the grave, every word he ever spoke, every promise he ever made, everything that God ever did. Hallelujah. Came up out of that grave. Because he lives, we live also. How do we live? Jesus came out of the grave by the promise of God. You understand that? Read in Isaiah, he said, they will not leave my bones to rot in the grave. His promise is what brought him up out of that grave. His promise is what will take you out of your situation and bring you up out of it into a new resurrected life. Do you understand? He said this, is there anything too hard for me? Is my arm too short that I can't reach out to you? Is there anything that I can't do? We sing, how great is our God? How great is He? First of all, do you believe that He is? And He's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Let's go on. As He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. They did not have the land in the physical, this is me writing, they did not have the land in the physical hand. God wanted them to have it in their heart first. And if they could receive it in their heart by faith and trust in Him, they would have it in their hand physically. Amen. They couldn't enter into their rest because of unbelief. I don't believe, number one, there is a God. Oh, I believe there's a God. Well, I don't believe what He said is true. You'll never enter in. Well, if God would only do this for me, I could believe Him. No, you wouldn't. Jesus said, even if a man should come up out of the grave, you wouldn't believe it. Because in your heart, there's a hardness that refuses to bend to the Almighty God. And when you do that, when you refuse to bend, you'll never enter into His rest. Hallelujah. Verse 4. What time is it? All right. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now listen to this one. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What's He promising? Protection. Protection. For those who say, well, I want to share because the Spirit of God told me to share, but if I share, I'm going to lose my job. No man will stand before you. There are people out there today, trust me when I tell you this, and you're going to see it in the pulpits, you're going to see it in the churches, but in the world right now, there's people losing positions of authority and power because they came against the Word of God. You don't hear it that way. You hear all the other stories going on. I told you about one. He wrote a book and said, this is what you got. We made a choice. He said, because we looked at science, we believe all this stuff, then Jesus didn't do this, and Jesus didn't do that, and He didn't say this. You start messing with God's Word, you're going to get in trouble. He in trouble now. They can't see it. They think it's all because of this one said that, and this one did. No, 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 no. You weren't going up against man. You were going up against Almighty God. And He said it this way, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. You may not do it right now, but I'll promise you this, you will do it eventually. You will come to an understanding, there will come a time when you will bow your knee to the Master and you'll confess Him as Lord and King. It may not be now, it may be in the judgment seat of Christ, but the day's coming, you will. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. I'll never do. Yes, you will. How do I know that? Because God promised it. And His promise is always for yea and amen. I trust Him. Amen? And it's the same thing here. The body of Christ, His children, they don't want to submit to Him. He'll make you submit to Him. Oh, how can He do that? He said he corrects those whom he loves. Pretty soon your messed up life will be so messy, you're going to get sick and tired, and you're going to find out, well, what do I got to do, Lord, to get it right? God says, I'll show you. First of all, repent. Confess your sins before me. What's my sin, Lord? Your unwillingness to bow to my holy name. Your unwillingness to give your life to me in trust. I wrote a note someplace here. And I wrote, and I don't have it with me. I don't know what I did with it. I put it someplace. And I said something to this effect. You don't need money. You don't need a benefactor. You don't need whatever this is out here. This isn't your need. Your need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Too many people have gotten what they wanted in the world and fell apart. Look how many people won the lottery and their lives turned out to be a mess. Divorces go almost. Breakup of families and friends. These things out here promise you, oh, a better life and a good life. No, it doesn't. It separates you from the body of Christ, and it'll separate you. I remember someone who won $1 million. They had to leave the church they're in because people were getting angry because they wouldn't give money to them. True story. That's right in this area. Money is not the answer. Things is not the answer. Listen to me. Going out and getting a relationship outside of a relationship you have with your husband or wife is not the answer. I don't care what it is going on in your life, if you look outside of the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't want to believe any of that stuff, fine. Live your life the way it is and watch what happens. But if you really, truly want to see the promises of God come to be fulfilled in your life, trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Stop following the old nature of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Look at that stuff as your enemy out to kill you and destroy everything you desire in your life. Because that's what it's up to. Hallelujah. Am I having fun yet? All right. Don't ever... Now listen to the second part of 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest promise there ever was. I don't care how bad it gets, he's right there. All you have to do is turn to him. All you have to do is turn to him. Say, Father, forgive me. I went my own way for so long, I forgot what it is to be with you. I followed my own path for so long, I didn't recognize when you were leading me out the other way. Help me, Lord. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Hate to tell you this, but anybody you lean on, the government, as somebody was talking to me, a Christian, professed Christian, angry with the government because they took some of his money from him. I want to know, you know, the Bible tells us this, when you choose to have a man over you, he's going to take taxes from you. Right in the Bible. And he said, not only that, he'll take your kids and use them in the army. Right in the Bible. When you want to have a man in authority over you, what you will have is a man in authority over you. And all his weaknesses, all his failings, all his junk, you're going to have to put up with all of it. But when you got God over you, and you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. No, Lord. Now you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who loved you enough to die for you, the one who loved you enough to bring him up out of the grave and set him on the right hand of the Father. And not only that, he said, I'll bring you up with him. And he sat you with him in heavenly places, right at the right hand of God. That's where you are seated in Christ Jesus. In that, once you submit to him. See, the sad part of it is, And look, again, I'm going to say the same thing. I put this disclaimer in there. I'm just as weak as the rest. I struggle and I fumble around and I try, and then there's times I sit there and I just veg out and just die. Blah, and I become me. And I complain and murmur and I do all the other things everybody else does. I do all those things. Yay. But I don't stay there.
Amen.
I'm not staying in it.
Amen.
I don't like it.
Amen.
I don't like it when I have a relationship. See, I always confess my faults one to another. That might be healed, right? Yesterday, we brought Diane home from the hospital. We've been up there for 2 days, basically. Diane was up there. I went home and went to sleep on Friday and came back on Saturday early. And we're waiting around for her to get out of the hospital. And we're all sitting up. I hate hospitals. I mean, I thank God for them because they help so many people. But I don't like being in them. Either I don't want to even sit there. Even if I'm not the patient. If I'm the patient, it's even worse. But trust me. But I'm sitting there, so we finally get out of there, I don't know, about 3 o'clock or so. We get home, get Diane seated in her chair. She'll be living in for the next 2 weeks. And we're sitting there, and she wanted something. I'm trying to fix her, and she's tired, and she's kind of, you know what you're like when you're not,
yes.
You know, you're hurting and you're pain, and, you know, and things aren't going the way you want. You don't want this, but praise God, she's doing great, and she's going to be up a lot quicker than last time. And so anyways, so I'm trying to help her with her blankets and her pillows and all this stuff. And she's going, yeah, I'm not that good. I'm out of here. They go, out of the room. And I knew if I didn't get out of there, we're going to get in a yelling match with each other. And I didn't want to do that with her. Doesn't mean I was right. Although I was.
No.
She didn't hear that. So I don't care. And whatever you say, I'll deny it. But all of a sudden, you know, meaning to do the right thing, all of a sudden you can lose it. I don't know about you. I've done it too many times. But I don't stay there.
Amen.
When I examine myself and I see that I'm not walking as I should, now, sometimes it takes longer than others.
Yes.
But I do repent as soon as I get to that point. I hate having there's a difference, you know. I can have conflict with myself, and often do. But with someone else, all the peace, all the joy of living in a house where you have conflict between two people, I would not do it. I would not live in that house. The Lord says it's better to live up in the corner of the roof than live with a contentious woman. That's what the Word said. I didn't say that. That's what the Word says. I can't help it. But it's just as much the other way. You live with a husband that you can't please, it's miserable. Amen? But we learn. Paul said, I learned to be content with and without. Contentment brings great peace. That's what you're looking for. You want to be at peace with the world. The world may not be at peace with you, but you can be at peace with the world. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know how we got on that, but anyways. Let's go on. So, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. He goes on to say in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. To let go and let the old man die is going to take great strength and great courage. It will not happen easily. It does not happen easily. It does not happen just because you want it to happen. This is what we've been dealing in all of this with. Everything we've been talking about is denying self. It's going to take great strength. Okay, where are you going to get the strength from? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can find a place where Jesus becomes fullness of joy in my life. And there, I have great strength to resist the temptation of the old nature. How do you get there? Keep your mind on the things above, not the things below. When you start walking and all you want to do is satisfy old self, recognize it and say, no, I don't receive that. I confess all the time. My old nature's passed away. All things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer to walk in that way. Are you ready? That's you. You can do it. Courage. Where do I get the courage from? I remember all the times that God has delivered me out of the junk that I was in. All the things. He took me out of death and brought me into life. He took me out of hopelessness and got hope to my life. He brought purpose. I grew up. I was talking to somebody else about this one time. I was a young man. I had many opportunities. I was in the service. I could have stayed there. I was plumbers and working in a plumbing outfit before I went into service. And they wanted to send me to plumbing school, and I would become a licensed plumber. Wouldn't have been a bad job. They make pretty good money. I could have stayed there. I was a carpenter. I made pretty good money as a carpenter. My wife was an office manager. Between the two of us, we were making pretty good money. But I never knew what God wanted from me, and I never knew that God was even involved in my life. I didn't even know He cared about what I did. But all of a sudden, He said to me one day during a service, "I've called you to be a pastor." That was my purpose. That's my purpose. That's what you have a purpose. Every one of us has purpose here. It isn't going to job and getting money and pay your bills and having weekends off and be able to go to the movies once in a while and go out to eat once in a while. That's not your purpose. That's how you live in the world. That's how the rest of the world lives. Every one of us, God took us out of that mess and brought us into this kingdom for purpose. You would fulfill your purpose before you leave this earth. Fulfill your, because if you die on your bed without fulfilling that purpose, you'll be most miserable. You'll end up in His heaven. You'll end up right before Him. But you will know, I never fulfilled the purpose God created me for, and that'll make you miserable. On your deathbed, it will. You have to know. Now, am I where the finished product of all of it? I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe there's more God's got for me. Maybe there's less God's got. I don't know. Maybe I'll end up being an usher and somebody else at church. I don't care. I know I fulfilled my purpose, which was to say yes, Lord, to Him and no to Him. Amen. Amen. I said no to this kid. And I think just like all of you. I think, come on now. Nothing changes in my. I remember one time we were in church and Diane finally got me to understand the importance of tithes and offerings, because I wasn't an easy convert. I struggled a little there. But she got me to it. And I remember one time thinking at the end when we got it, because like I said, we're making good money. And we got our end of the year, how much we gave for our taxes and stuff. I looked at that and I said, Diane, we could have bought a new car for cash. What we gave there. I'm serious. You don't think that I think those things? Absolutely do. I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me. Because money isn't what it's all about. But I don't always remember that. Amen. I'm not always somebody like everybody. Oh man, this is easy. No, it isn't. The old man doesn't want to die. He's fighting to get control and stay alive. Amen? Hallelujah. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give to you. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance even now that we can partake of. The inheritance comes because Jesus died. Come on now. And you are written in the will. All that is mine is yours. If you haven't read the will, you'll never know what's yours. Think about it. You got a father or somebody who wrote you in a will, and they have $40 million, and you are the benefactor of it. You are the one who's receiving all of that. But you don't believe it. So you don't read the will. And then you don't go when the will is all. You just, no, I'm not interested. I don't believe it. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Only be strong and very courageous. Verse 7. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in here. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. Now I'm going to tell you something. It is not a lot of things you got to do. It's not over. Oh man, you just some. No, it isn't. Ed, this is so repetitive. The Old Testament and the New Testament are just. The Old Testament is talking about it. The New Testament is fulfilling it in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is accept it and believe it and receive it. Wow, that's a hard thing to do. No, it isn't. Yeah, but you're talking about dying to self. You're talking about denying self. That's a natural progression of a Christian. He went from being a baby, all about me and whining and complaining. That's what they all say about me all the time. My wife keeps telling me, it's all about you all the time. And he said, look, you can't receive what I've got for you. You can't receive because you're still a baby, still having to be milk, baby bottle fed. That's what the Bible says, not me. I'm not talking about you guys. You're all mature Christians. Get it all together. I'm talking to the people who might listen to the internet and hear this, not to you guys. I want you to know on the internet that everybody here is full-grown, mature Christians.
Amen.
Woo! We call those things that aren't as though they be, praise God. Amen.
I receive that.
Listen, we all, in some ways or as in some form or fashion, we all end up being little babies at times. But again, we don't stay there. We move onward and upward. We're moving, we're growing, we're maturing, we're growing, we're maturing. We're getting better, bigger.
Yes. Come on.
Yes. Hallelujah. But our responsibility, do what the Word of God says. Don't complain, don't murmur, love everybody, forgive everybody, get out of sin. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What's the Bible call sin? Did anybody know? You know what true sin in the Bible is? Unbelief of what? Of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. When you say that has no consequence and that is not anything, it makes you a liar and it makes you in sin. The things of the flesh, God deals with. The things of the heart, he leaves up to you guys to make that choice. Amen? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he what?
Goes.
Hallelujah. Victory. Listen to this. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth. That means, what do we talk about? Meditating on the word constantly, day and night. Meditate, day and night. Meditate. What's it mean? Speak it. Meditate means to mumble. Don't ever let the word of God depart from your mouth. In other words, stop talking death. And start speaking life.
Amen.
What's life? God's word.
Amen.
It's easy. I know people want, well, I just want to tell you how I feel. Your feelings have nothing to do with it except it'll keep you down. When people say, I just want to tell you how I feel, very seldom are talking about how good they feel. They're usually talking about how bad they feel. Yeah, but who am I going to talk to if I can't talk to you? Try him for a change. Because he'll talk to you. He might take a piece of tape. Oh. If you can't speak life, tape it up. If you can't control it, tape it up. At least you're looking as if you're trying. God will work with people who are trying. Amen? He'll work with you if you're trying. But if you're not even trying, there's nothing he can do. He said, I'd rather you're cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm just means you think you're all right, but you still act the same way. How am I doing? Glory to God. Let's go on. Let's get out of this before I get stoned. Amen. All right, verse 8. Don't let it depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe. So how am I going to do what God told me to do? By meditating on the Word. Amen. The Word of God brings you life. The Bible says you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Amen. All right. That is written in it for then. And here's where I wanted to get to. I wish I should have said this from the very beginning. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's what God desires for your life. He wants you to prosper and have great success. Isn't that cool? That's what God wants for your life. Understand that. We're trying to get the same thing by the works of the flesh. When God says, I want you entering my rest, and I will do what I said I would do, if you will do what I ask you to do, is trust me, believe me, you'll enter into a rest, and in that rest you're going to find prosperity and success waiting for you. Waiting for you. He said, I gave them land that they did not purchase. I gave them wells they did not dig. I gave them houses they did not build. I gave them orchards they did not plant. God did that for them under the old covenant. What will he do for you under the new? But we see things differently. In the old nature, man had to go out and prove himself by getting a job, making money, go home, pay the bills, and every once in a while go on vacation. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like the world. But we're in the world, but not of the world. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. You're people of God. Oh, you mean I shouldn't work? No. Your work is a place where you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's not to pay your bills, but God said, I'll meet all your needs. Right? Come on now. We're trying to get rid of the old stinking way of thinking, bringing in the new mind of Christ. Jesus didn't come down here and say, sorry guys, I'd like to minister today, but I'm off doing my thing. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. Our goal is to be a light to those in darkness. That means your life should bring jealousy to those who don't know who he is. You should cause them to desire what you've got, because the fragrance of the presence of God is in you and with you. All of a sudden they see your life and they say, I want what you got. How can you have such peace in the midst of all this turmoil around you? How can you have such love for people who hated you? How can you speak such good things to people who cursed you? I can't do it on my own, because I live in a new nature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I'm not that old person. That's who I used to do. That's what I used to be. That's not who I am. That's not who you are. Well, I don't know how to do these things. Simple. Believe and trust God. Do what he tells you to do. Well, how am I going to hear his voice? You're his sheep. If you're not, you need to get saved. How do I get saved? Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and you shall be saved. Well, I believe all that. Did you confess it? If you did, then the Spirit of God is in you. You have the Spirit of Christ, where you are now adopted into the family of God, and you can call out and say, Abba, Father. We're on the road to great success and great prosperity. And again, I tell you this. Prosperity is not the things the world calls prosperity. The riches of God in Christ Jesus are so much greater than the riches this world has to offer. I'm going to tell you. People who get rich, all they can think about is how they can keep what they got. Their whole life is trying to figure out how to keep what I got. Those who are rich in Christ, they know that it'll never run out. And nobody can steal it from them. Nobody can take it from them. And whenever a need pops up, you just go, Father, thank you that you meet my needs. I have a need here. I got a need there. I got a need here. Praise God. Amen. You're rich. You're rich. You need to start confessing that. You've got to start believing that I'm rich. And every time the devil comes up and says, no, you're poor in some area, he said, no, I'm rich. How come? God supplied my need already. Where did he do that? I don't see it. At the cross at Calvary. I'm rich. And he came up out of that grave. I came up out of it with him. Once I was dead in all my trespasses, all my sins, all the world. I was lost without hope. Look at me now. You can't purchase, let me just end with this. You can't purchase the clothes that you are clothed with. You haven't got enough money in this world to purchase the finery you're clothed with right now. Because you are clothed with the robes of righteousness. No money on earth can buy that. You couldn't buy that with nothing. Try it sometime. You are rich. If the world could see it, they'd want what you've got. They'd want what you've got. There was a time when someone saw one of the apostles exhibiting the riches of the glory of Christ Jesus by the power of God. They said, how much to get that same glory, that same riches, that same power? He didn't understand. It's a gift. He thought he could purchase it with his money. You can't purchase the joy. You can't purchase the joy of knowing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't purchase the sacrifice that Christ gave when he gave his life for you. You can't purchase it. And yet you're so rich that nobody around you can tempt you with the things of this world. Nobody can draw you away from the presence of the blessed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody. You're rich. It's time to step up and step into what God has for you. It's time. Time is short. We don't have a lot of time left. Don't just ignore this. We looked on, and Peter, he wrote about, oh, everybody scoffs. And they said, well, they said he was coming then, and they didn't come, and he didn't come then. And I'm telling you, the time is short. Now's the time. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to praise you and give you glory. We thank you for the honor and the privilege of knowing you and being one with you. I thank you, Father, for all that hear and have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, have already determined in their heart, Father, to step up and step into the grace, into the glory, in the very presence of Almighty God. They made a determination in their heart, Father, to leave the old man behind and let it die and walk in the newness of the Spirit of the living God. I thank you, Father, as you give him a lift up. You give him a lift up, Lord God. Help them, Father, as you help me each and every day of our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion if you get prepared. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you very much.